So, welcome to the graduate program for June already this year. We have a lesson to go through, but I'm just going to read out some general points, excuse me, about the graduate program for everyone that is new to it. And let me start by saying a massive welcome. You are more than welcome to join us in this. Glad that you're here. And the graduate program is not for advanced students or anything like that. It is simply for those that want to continue to study the Dissolving the Ego course lessons in greater detail. We only have an hour to go through each lesson when we take the course, and there's so much more depth in each lesson that if we master each lesson, we master our life and our awakening. They're like foundation. If you were to build a house, you'd want a solid foundation, and you want four cornerstones in that house. So the lessons are going to act like that. And we're just going to, each month, we pick a session, a lesson, or a combination of lessons to study together so that we can take our understanding of them deeper. So everyone is worthy of being here. There is no such thing as anybody who's not advanced enough to be in this program. It's just, we can throw that out straight away, do ourselves a favor. It's abbreviated to GP, graduate program, just in case you're wondering what GP is. And the Dissolving the Ego course gets abbreviated to DTE because I'm kind of lazy. So, as part of the graduate program, you are automatically signed up for the next course. The Dissolving the Ego course, as long as you're a member of the graduate program, the GP. So you don't need to worry about that. I would expect you, as graduate program members, to continue to participate in the course when it comes around. Each time you watch it, you're going to deepen your understanding. Each time you take it, you don't necessarily have to study and do the homework as you did last time you did the course. Listening to the lessons and doing the graduate program with us is going to really deepen your understanding in that way. So each month there is a live session like this, something for you to study throughout the entire month. So because we can keep our focus on one particular aspect of the course for a whole month, we're going to really take that aspect on board and really become it as much as possible. And you also have the chance to send in any questions, comments, or feedback about what we're studying, about the lessons in general from the course, using on the page where you logged in to find this link and password. There is a form that you can submit there. And please, if you're sending in homework or feedback or something that you need help with, try to keep it concise. And if you want it addressed, I read out the homework and address it and record it, and it's uploaded to the monthly teachings pages. So it needs to be in by 6 p.m. on a Tuesday, UK time, if you want it looking at and addressing this week and that particular week. So anyone can send anything in, but the more relevant to the course it is, the better, because it may seem like there are other things going on in our life, but really a mastery of these four lessons is going to give you mastery of everything. They are the foundations, and they're also the advanced stuff. There are Sangha meetups just for the graduate program. If you haven't already participated in those, I would highly encourage you to do so, and to make friends with other graduate program members, because if you can discuss what you're learning, what you're seeing, what challenges you're having with each other, either through these graduate program Sangha meetups or getting online with each other, who knows, maybe even sitting in the same room together eventually, it's going to deepen your understanding and you're going to help each other much more. You're going to advance quicker. So if you haven't joined those Sangha meetups, they're listed on the page where you log, where you got this link and password for this session. Each week the link Each month, rather, the link is the same, but the password changes, so you must log in to find the latest one. And just a quick thank you to all those that run the Sangha meetups and that take time out of their lives, in whichever way we're doing it, to help me run this graduate program. Deeply appreciate it. So in each live session like this, we are going to study something in depth. So I'll go through the lesson that we're going to look at today. There is a sheet, a study plan, study sheet that summarizes what I'm about to say. So you don't have to take notes. It's, of course, it's recorded as well. And that study sheet will be uploaded along with the recordings from today. So you can watch it again and again throughout the month just to absorb it deeper. And then I'll open it up for question and answers when we get to the end of what I want to say. And then we may or may not have a break, depending on if I remember. And we'll go to Sergio reads a beautiful Sanskrit prayer for us, which is really absolutely beautifully stunning. The words for which, the translation for which is now on those pages, graduate program pages. Thank you so, so much for doing that, Sergio. I know it's been a lot of work. And then we finish with a group statement process, which is dead easy to join in. You don't have to join in. It's entirely up to you. There is also on the monthly teachings pages, when you log in, you'll see there's monthly teachings. And we've just started a new page, page one for May and of course June's recordings. And there is also an extra classes and resources page where if you feel a pull to the statement process, you can check it out on there. There's some videos and helpful resources on that. This month, we're going to study a combination of lesson one and lesson three together. But if you're flicking through the recordings from since the beginning of the graduate program and you find a particular month that we've already done where the live session just really speaks to you and is something urgent and important, then it's absolutely okay to spend that month studying that lesson. You don't have to study what we're doing in this month, although of course you can. It's most important to find something that you are really resonating with, and you can even study a combination of them. That's why they're on there, so that you can go back and have a look at the live sessions, see which one you feel a pull to if you want to, or you can just dive into this month, have a study and then send in some feedback if you want to. One last thing, when you're listening and watching the homework updates, when I record them and read out everybody's feedback, probably the first thing you're going to think is that you shouldn't or can't send any in, because what you're hearing may sound quite advanced from what people are sending in. And I really just want to discourage that. I want you to share if you feel that you want to or you have a question. Somebody who sounds very advanced is literally only somebody who's been in the graduate program and been around the course longer. That's the only difference. And you apply the same stuff, you'll be in the same place. There's no advanced or not advanced here. So last but not least, from the 25th of July, the price for the graduate program is going to increase, but for new members only. So anyone that is already subscribed will continue to pay the same price, just so that you know. Of course, if you unsubscribe and then rejoin, it will be the new price. Okay, let's get started on all of this. There we go. Okay, so this month we're going to look at self-recognition and identity. We're going to combine lesson one with lesson three, and we're going to work on intentionally shifting our identity over. You've probably begun to notice that all of our karmic patterns are cause and effect loops, where we're trying to change the effect, as we learned about in lesson two. And that dissolving the ego is really dissolving all the places where we think in terms of cause and effect, in terms of duality. Wherever you're at in that, so dissolving these patterns, releasing them, we can be doing that as a separate being, or we can be doing that as the noumenon, as the self, as the awareness. And dissolving the ego as a separate being is slow, painful, drawn out, extraordinarily difficult, as you may have noticed. Doing it as with a deep knowing that you are the noumenon, that you're looking from the self at the ego, is going to be the difference between a long, slow, drawn out, painful process that never ends, or effortlessly watching and unfolding as these things just sort themselves out and release, spontaneous seeings, letting go of these loops. So I don't know about you, but I prefer to do it as the noumenon. It took me a good couple of years to recognize that. So wherever you are, whether you've got no karmic patterns left or millions, it's just going to be so much more fun to do it knowing that you are the self, that you never were a separate being with a deep conviction, which is what we work on in lesson 3. And we're going to tune into the noumenon today. I want us all to do this as we go through the session. And then we're going to put some scrutiny, so really slow down what happens when we tune in. I'm going to ask some questions, and just listening to these questions and trying to answer them inside your own self is going to begin to shift your identity. If you look at any awakened being, the one thing they all have in common is a kind of confidence, clarity, conviction that comes from a deep knowing that's penetrated down to the cellular level of their body, even in a very literal way, that they are the self, that they've never been separate. That lack of doubt means that when a thought pops up, they know they're looking at the ego, they're looking at the karmic pattern, they're not the one caught up in it. So maybe you can see how important it is to shift our identity over. That's what we're going to look at in this month. We are, as the noumenon, we are immune to suffering immediately. Looking from the noumenon at ego, ego will begin to gently dissolve by itself. It is doing already. We're just facilitating that process with a conscious recognition. So we're going to, wherever you're at, whether you're brand new to the graduate program or you've been in it for months, we can all take this deeper. And myself included, every time I ask these questions, there's a deeper seeing. And it really will just shift from some hard work that's full of suffering and constant having to question, contemplate, to, as the noumenon, sometimes even just looking at a karmic pattern, it falls away. A lot less effort, a lot more fun, and you're peaceful already while they're dissolving. You're not trying to get to the end of these karmic patterns for them to go before you feel peace. So already free and watching this stuff release, totally different journey. It becomes a lot of fun. So when we come to know with a conviction and a clarity that we are looking from the self, that we've never been a separate being, our whole world will change inside. And instead of being magnetic to thoughts, we'll feel as if we're kind of above the mind, floating above the mind. And it's an option then whether to engage it. And the major benefit of shifting identity to a recognition, by identity I mean what I know myself to be with a deep conviction, what I really am sure of inside. When I know myself to be the self, I will find it impossible to believe a thought. So this really is the shortcut, and that's why we're going to focus on it this month. So if you want to join in with me, and I highly recommend doing that, then tuning into the noumenon now, let's just take a moment to recognize. I'm going to use mainly awareness and silence as the names for the noumenon, but you can just substitute whatever you whatever your favorite doorway in is. They're all the same. So just recognizing the awareness, noticing, listening to the silence, whichever way in you get to in that. And I'm just going to read, there's a list of questions. All these questions are on the study sheet, so you don't have to remember them. Just enough to listen and to try to see if you can answer it. Just the entertaining of the question while you're tuning in is going to be shifting identity already. Just that, nothing else needs to be. You don't need to have an epiphany. It's just every time you ask yourself one of these questions, you're going to be more convinced when you've asked it than you were before that you were looking from the noumenon at the egoic sense of self, at the separate self. So just recognizing awareness. There is awareness right now of these words. There's awareness of what your eyes are seeing. Even if you've got your eyes closed, you're aware you can't see anything in the room. So I'm going to ask these questions and leave a little gap between them. Just see if you can check them out. Again, it's the listening and applying the question that's doing the work. It's not even important to me that you get any answer, although that might happen. So where is that awareness and where are you noticing it from? So there's awareness of these words. Where is that awareness? Again, just trying to find it. And where are you noticing it from? And it's enough to try to see, where am I looking from? Again, we're not doing any more hard work than that, just entertaining these questions. Are you inside of, outside of the awareness, or neither of these? So awareness is here. Are you noticing it from inside of it? Are you outside of it? Or are none of those really applicable? Just exploring inside your own awareness or consciousness, silence, stillness, beingness, whatever you want to call it. Tuning in whichever way you do and checking these out. When you notice awareness, are you an object? Are you a thing? To see awareness, awareness is present. Are you an object, a thing? Are you any different than the silence that you're listening to, or the awareness that you're noticing? Can you find any difference between you and the silence? Are you hearing the silence with your ears, or do you notice awareness with your eyes? If silence awareness is invisible, can you see it with your eyes? Can you hear it with your ears if it's inaudible? And if your eyes are closed, you can still, there's awareness that I can't see anything. Awareness is still present even without the eyes. And again, you might like one of these questions more than the other, and that's okay. That's your body telling you that there's an important question. Just checking them out as we go through them. Can your mind notice awareness? So just checking out, awareness is here. And can your mind recognize awareness is here? Can something located in one place, like your mind, recognize that which is everywhere, awareness? Can a finite and limited being in one place and time notice that which exists everywhere? Where could you stand in the universe to notice that which is everywhere? Can you be a finite, limited being when you're recognizing your everywhereness? Again, it's not so important about the answers. The questions are doing the work for us. How do you know that awareness is here? Right now, there's awareness of these words, what your senses are taking in, what your mind is thinking. How do you know awareness is there? How are you recognizing it? Can you find a you and awareness? Is there really a you looking at awareness? Does it take any time to hear the silence, or is it immediate? Recognizing that silence, checking out, can it be divided into two silence? Can there be your silence and my silence? Is there a you listening to silence? Can you find that? Again, just checking out in your own experience. Can our permanent nature as silence be noticed by something coming and going, such as our mind, our body, our separate self? Could something that's only here sometimes recognize that which is here always and continuously? Do you need to use your body at all to recognize the silence? Can a form recognize formlessness? Can something visible recognize something invisible? And lastly, for now, are there really two things? Are they really a you and the self? So just doing your best to check out these questions is so, so important. You might even find you don't care about the answers actually, that you begin to feel quite peaceful and immune to the mind just by asking these kind of questions. And if one of these questions that I've read out really resonated with you, they're on the sheet, so you can go back to them, or you may find spontaneously your own question arising. Again, it's important just to ask these questions. Take some time as often as you can to ask whichever question you feel a resonance with. How am I noticing the noumenon? How am I doing that? Is there a me and it? And just letting go of trying to wait for this pivotal moment that we all wait for, where suddenly I know that I'm the self. Suddenly I have the confidence of a sage. And just recognizing that every time we ask these questions, we are shifting identity over. That we cannot come out of a question like this the same as we went in. And that the sage may appear to have all this confidence and clarity, but they arrived at it the exact same way by checking it out, by not finding a separate entity, a separate being, by only finding the self, by coming to see that there is nowhere I can be in the universe and recognize my everywhereness. There's nowhere I can stand in time and space and see the fullness of my being. I have to be looking at the self, the awareness, the silence from the self. That will just become more and more obvious as you ask these questions. And I want to tell you something really important now. This is really important. Well, it's all important, but when you first start to ask these questions, every single person I've ever come across, including myself, starts with this feeling that I can never find this out. Like there's a energetic wall or some fog or something that I can't ever come to the same clarity that the Buddha did. It's just impossible. And every awakened being has started from that same feeling. The difference is those that make it through that fog ask another question. Ask the question one more time. You're taking a step through the fog. And eventually you come out the other side. That is the only thing that's happening here. We believe our minds too much when our mind says, I can't figure this out. I can't know this. Because your mind's telling the truth, but you can. You can find with a deep conviction and clarity. It's not your mind's fault. It can't get this. It's not supposed to. But don't believe that you can't. Everyone starts off with this, that's never going to happen for me feeling. And then as you ask these questions, keep chipping away. You take another step through this, you know, in wall of inertia or fog or whatever we're calling it, resistance. And just one day you'll come out the other side of that fog and it'll just be totally obvious that you're looking from the self and you didn't do anything different that day than you did the day before. But each time you ask the question and check it out inside yourself, you are less able to believe a thought than you were before you asked the question. I hope you're getting a sense of how important the question is. Tuning into the noumenon, whichever way we do that, and then checking these questions out. And it'll actually begin to become, it'll feel really, really nice as you do it more. And your body will relax and it'll become a kind of meditation anyway. And you'll want to continue it just because it feels so nice. But it's also going to be doing this most important work of shifting identity over. And the ones that the world remembers as these beings that have changed the planet are simply the ones that kept on asking and confirming and checking and looking until it was clear. There's no special thing they did that you can't do. And it's just the determination and the consistency with the question. If you just did this for this month, your entire life would be changed. (clears throat) 30 days asking one or more of these questions and not striving hard for answers. Answers are going to come by themselves as you just ask these questions inside, tuning in, checking out the questions. How am I noticing awareness? How do I know awareness is here? Am I a thing or no thing to notice awareness? Just checking those out. So I know that you can do this because you are me and I did this. So it's a no-brainer. It's just finding the right question that excites you and going for it. So there is usually there's some specific reading that we do for the month from one of the books. But this month, I haven't put any specific reading because there's a lot of questions there. You can read from anything from Reality Check, The Story of I, Now That You're Formless, and Dissolving the Ego will help you with this month's work. But there's nothing specific in the reading for this particular month. It's enough to spend a few minutes each day checking into the noumenon, tuning in, asking these questions, and just allowing some space inside. And your work is done when you've asked the questions. You don't need to figure an answer out at all. So, okay. Okay, so I'll open it up for questions. If you have any questions about what we've just been through, any questions about the lessons in the course in general, I'd invite you to raise your hand. We'll see how many questions we get before we possibly take a break, seeing how time moves forward. If anyone would like to share anything, now is the time. Okay, Bo, when you're ready.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good, thank you.
So I think this hit me hard just because of this week I've been feeling a lot of frustration that myself, but specifically loved ones, are getting like caught up in stories and taking thought very seriously, and that I fall into that trap too, of course. But when you said don't listen to the mind when the mind says I can't do that, the mind is telling the truth, but you can as the noumenon. Mm-hmm. That just like completely it seems so simple and like matter of fact, but I think it demonstrated how frequently I mistake myself for the mind.
And especially here, it has a massive effect here, doesn't it? If we listen to our mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also like at times there's like, well, maybe these are my thoughts, but I know I'm not the mind. Mm-hmm. So there's like some sort of separation that happens between what mind is and what thoughts are. And I guess just because of the energy here, it makes it a lot easier for things to click like that. So yeah, I no questions. I'm excited about this month. I just wanted to share about that. Good to see you and everyone.
Good, glad to hear from you, and glad it had a big impact. Because if you just get this one thing, you know, if you just get lesson three, the ego is a house of cards that falls down then, you know, because it really is the shortcut. If I'm trying to do it as the ego, then it's going to be, you're going to constantly get drawn back into thoughts, aren't you? Like you said about others and all of that. So it's good. It's good to recognize where you're looking from. And I'm glad it had an impact. And let's see what happens for you this month.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you. Okay,
Videa. Yeah, hi, Hannah.
Hello.
Since I last shared with you, I think it was even the next day, there was something that really come clearer where it was more a conviction that I just couldn't believe thoughts anymore. The stories, it just got clearer. It's not that I know or don't know whether it's true or not. It's just something that I just couldn't believe in them. And then in that not believing, there was this openness that it didn't even seem like it's happened. It's just the space, and
it's deeper, doesn't it? From this isn't true for me to this was never true for me, actually. Like it just deepens into nothing has ever really happened to me or touched me in that way. As the seeing deepens, it's not true now that I'm a separate being, therefore it never ever has been or will be. And then it deepens into, well, it's not true for anyone else either. So it gets very quiet very quickly.
And not picking up the if a idea or that arises, not picking it up, just seeing it and not even knowing it's not true,
there's a place kind of when the identity has shifted or shifting, where you can't play with thoughts, you just can't somehow anymore. They're there, but it's not a choice to believe or disbelieve. It's just automatic. It's just the thought. It's completely different. And it's not my thought. It's just a thought. And I remember what used to happen when I believed that was true, but there's no way I can entertain it now. It's a default, a new default setting, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's exactly, like you said, it's not really a choice. It's just not the interest.
Yeah.
It's happening automatically.
Because we did believe that we were the attention. Attention turns to look at thoughts and then turns to look back at the self, its source, the noumenon. But lesson three shows us we're looking way before that, actually. What the attention does is what the attention does. But it's never been me that's believing thoughts. I'm already free. That's the fruit of it.
Yeah, it's definitely that space. And, just when I look, it's just here.
Yeah.
It's always here. Even maybe that's too much.
I know what you mean, but it's good that you're getting that, beginning to get that clarity, and it becomes effortless to the thoughts are just further and further away. Instead of being right here, they're just in your vicinity, and then they're in the corner of the room, and then you're like, where did you go? You didn't make them go or anything. It's just you're just rising above that vibrational field of being drawn to them, or they're drawn to you. You're not vibrating as the self. So you're not magnetically, vibrationally attracting thoughts anymore. Like ego's like flypaper, isn't it? Just, all these thoughts pile on.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's just forever grateful. Continue. It's just wonderful. It's just so, so wonderful.
Thank you. Glad to see you getting the fruits of it. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sergio, when you're ready.
Oh, hi, Helen. Thank you.
Hi.
May I ask, it has to do with two of the satsangs that you did on Monday last May. Can I ask questions on that? Okay, thank you.
You might have to remind me what I said, though.
In one of them was May the 10th, Monday, and you were mentioning, listening without hearing, like paying attention only to the noumenon. And also you mentioned seeing without watching. that was in that satsang, and I was wondering how to notice the difference between one and the other, so that we can be always from the noumenon rather than from the one being, the separate being. That's like the first part of the question. And then on the other satsang, being and no becoming, that you explain this very clearly, but I find myself that I cannot notice the difference between the becoming and the being, because the line is so thin. So how can I be clear on that when, like, to listen to that intuition of the self that is the self and not to the person, individual person? Do I make sense?
Yeah, let's take the first bit. So let's go back to the first bit. Just remind me of the first bit and then.
Okay, on the first one, you were saying you took us into an exercise like looking at a form and then recognizing where that form resides. That is the noumenon, the space, the self. And you were referring to seeing everything from the self, so something like that. And also like that we may be listening to peers at work, and but it will be from the place of the self rather than from the place, in this case, of myself, of Sergio, mm-hmm. as a person, but rather than as the self, as the whole. And that listening becomes more richer and more perfect and effortless.
Okay, so if you're, let me go with this, and if I'm not answering your question, then just give me a nudge. If you're listening to silence, you're also able to hear the sounds, the phenomenal sounds as well, when you're listening to silence. Like right now, there's a silence and there is these words, and there's somebody cutting the grass out there. There's other sounds going on as well. And that those sounds are heard effortlessly when I'm listening to the silence. All that just comes in too. But if I pay attention and listen to something, a particular sound, or to thoughts, then there's an efforting, a struggling, and a sense of trying to get somewhere. I might be trying to, if I listen to the lawnmower going outside, I might suddenly feel I need to get back to the silence, and suddenly there's a journey then. But if I'm listening to the silence, all those other sounds are just heard automatically and effortlessly. I'm just kind of open to hear everything.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's helped, definitely.
Okay. And second part, can you just remind me of the second part?
Is how to be sure, or the between that thin line of becoming and being, because you were explaining in the satsang that when that it's very subtle,
mm-hmm.
but we can be trying to do things or resisting things. And that happened to me this very week and at work, and I wasn't noticing it. And I was resisting what was happening at work, and I wanted to somewhat reject it or not accept it. And on the other hand, I wanted to tune into the noumenon, because from that part I will feel decontracted.
Yeah. like we were just doing then with the silence. Right. So if you are being, then you're going to feel peace. If you're becoming, you'll feel in some kind of journey. And the kind of, and again, if this isn't addressing what you need, then do say, but the question that really helped me decide which one I was doing is, why am I doing this thing? Let's say we're in this class right now, or I'm in the supermarket, or I'm reading a book or something, watching a movie or something. I can ask, why am I doing this? So as the self, I might be attending this class or in the supermarket doing my shopping just because it's fun to do it and it needs to get done. You know, some sense of I'm in this class because it's joyful to explore myself, to understand myself deeper. We can also have the other motivation of I'm doing this because I want to come out of suffering, which seems like a logical thing. But again, it's sustaining this sense of becoming, that there's somewhere to get to in the future where I'm not suffering, where instead of being right now, that place that isn't able to suffer. So asking a question like, what's my motivation for this? For why am I listening to this satsang? Is it for the joy of discovering myself deeper, or am I trying to get somewhere? Because then I'll be listening and trying to get something out of it rather than just listening. Like we were just doing when I listen to the silence, it's an open listening rather than I might be listening to the words that the teacher is saying, trying to get something out of it, waiting for that aha moment that's going to liberate me or something. Instead of already being free right where I am because I'm just being. So your motivation, asking that question, what's the motivation, the reason for doing this? It'll uncover probably both. Something that's just being and enjoying itself, which is the self. And then some part of ego that's trying to, you know, this is the class, this is the satsang that's going to get me there. This is it. If I really just get this.
Right.
Can you see the difference in the...
Definitely. Yeah. This helps a lot.
Thank the you. Self, if you ask the self, why are you doing this? It would just going to say, because it's fun and because it needs doing or something like that, right? That would be the only, because it's joyful or because I want to or something like that, wouldn't it? The ego would have I'm doing this so that I can feel finally worthy or I can get to freedom, or you'd have a whole list of reasons, which are never... You can never get to the end of those reasons. Like the work situation, you were resisting what was happening at work because probably you were trying to change the situation. There's a sense that when the situation changes, you'll feel freer, feel better. But the suffering was because you're trying to change rather than just being there.
And that I was trying to change something.
Yeah.
And it was very subtle. I thought
it creeps back in, doesn't it? Yeah.
He was looking in and
you can say a really good question, why am I resisting this? What's the feeling behind why am I feeling bad? What's this about? You know, why am I suffering? And it'll get clearer that it's because I'm trying to change the effect. That's the effect. What's happening in my office is the effect of the sense that it's not how it should be inside, and that feeling I'm holding on to, that I'm not where I need to be, which is the becomingness attitude rather than the beingness.
Thank you, terrific.
It's quite crazy when I first asked myself, why am I doing this? Why am I reading all these books and attending classes and all that stuff? Like, to get there, you know, to get to the end.
To the finish line.
That doesn't exist, yeah. Yeah. Is that clearer?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Good. Lovely. Good to talk to you. Thank you. Karen?
Hi.
Hi.
I really haven't formulated a question, but just as Sergio was talking there, I was just wondering about the subject. I was listening to a DTE Q&A this morning where you were just highlighting, well, really what are beliefs, you know, what really just what are the thoughts? And they seem to just flow through sometimes like an object. And it feels like a subject-object split. You know, when I ask, well, you know, who is seeing this? Or, you know, it seems to be some identification, you know, a thought having some sort of objectivity. I don't know, I just see it just wash away. So I guess that the image that's just coming is about, you know, sometimes you're above the pool and then you jump in and you're sensing the water and the coolness or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you're always saying it's both. So I just wonder if you could say a little more about that.
If you look at what's happening when you believe a thought, it is the attention goes to that thought. A lot of relevance is given to it, either usually because we think it's true or because we've seen it's not true. And then we're wondering why it's still there. We're looking at it going, why are you still in my vicinity? Why are you coming into my awareness? And if we can see clearer as we're doing in this session, that we're looking already from before the attention. Attention is moving to the thought. For whatever reason it does that, it does that. But if we identify as the attention or the separate being, which are really the same thing in some ways, then we'll feel that we're the one splashing around in that and caught up in the turbulence that creates. If we can see the self is unchanged, and wherever attention goes, the awareness is equally aware of watching a thought as it is of watching itself, we could say, and unchanged in either situation, then it won't matter so much what attention does. Attention, awareness, same thing. And we won't feel, it won't feel possible to believe a thought, to give it lots of attention, which is what really sort of sucks us down into this lower vibration. As I'm sure we've all experienced spiraling downwards. If you can, as it starts off with this intermediary stage where I recognize I'm not believing any thought, but attention may still go to them for a while. And I just let that happen because it's nothing to do with me. Then attention will even get bored and just say, well, you know, I'm not interested in that thought anymore. There's never been a believer of thoughts. It's only the attention that goes to it habitually. I don't know if that helps to kind of expand on it.
Yes, it does. Yes, just the both, you know, in that when you feel like you're in a swimming pool, you know, whether you enjoy it or you don't, they're just both.
Mm-hmm.
Your message is always so clear and so direct. It's both, and we're always here, and nothing has changed.
You're watching attention, aren't you? You can tell me right now. You can tell me what your attention is on. You can tell me whether attention is distracted, or whether it's super focused and you've been listening the entire class and not missed a word, or whether your attention drifted off with thoughts and you didn't hear half of what I said. You can tell me all of that in afterwards. And so we're always watching attention. Then there's both aspects of us in the, well, we feel we're identifying as the attention to some degree, and we'll go play with thoughts, or it'll seem so. And there's always that part of us that's already free and beyond any of that, doesn't even need to disbelieve anything.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Good to talk to you. Okay. Would anyone else like to ask a question or share? We've got time for one more, then we'll take a quick break. Raj, when you're ready.
Hi, Ellen. Good afternoon again. Sorry, my video is off because my internet is a bit up and down. Apologies.
That's okay. No worries.
You know, when you were asking those questions for contemplation, it just seems to me that those questions are, in a sense, irrelevant, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, just explain a little bit more what you mean, but I think I'm with you, but just in case.
You know, it's the awareness is the awareness, and I am that awareness, and all of these questions are, in a sense, a game of the intellect, and it, in that sense, is completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. The questions are the highest use of the mind, aren't they, to me? The intellect, when it starts to ask questions like, how am I recognizing the awareness? Then something really special is happening there, right? That's the highest use of our intellectual capacity to discern. And you're absolutely right. There is also the awareness that just isn't even needing to find out what it is. There's almost two aspects to us, isn't there? One that's already free and perfect and whole. The awareness has never changed ever. And there's also this aspect of us that's been very, very caught up with thoughts, very contracted. And recognizing that we're looking from the former allows this latter to kind of disentangle itself and work itself free. These questions are just really to establish that I'm looking already from the liberated place. I'm already looking from that place that's free. And there will be a sense eventually, or even now, that the questions are kind of, when they've done their work, they might even feel a bit silly. Like, of course I'm already looking from there, you know, some sense like that.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Helen.
Very good. Good to talk to you. Okay, we'll take a quick 5-minute break and then we'll come back at 5 past. We'll do, Sergio, if you could read the prayer when we start, and then we'll do the group statement process. So thank you. I'll see you in 5 minutes.